Hello, this is Collective Noun. For a high quality program, press 1. You have pressed 2.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Welcome to the show for another week.
Dom, obviously any couple who have been to IKEA together know the struggles.
Oh, okay. I did see on your Instagram story over the weekend that you and your wife Sarah made an IKEA trip.
Yeah, we got... Well, I'll just say this.
Yep.
I think it's possibly the biggest breakdown they would have seen on the security cameras.
Oh, really?
From what I could tell, I don't know if many people would have had as difficult IKEA experience as we had.
Well, see, my dad is a relationship counsellor, and he's often said that premarital counselling, you should send couples to IKEA.
Yeah.
Just monitor how they deal with an IKEA trip, because that says a lot about a relationship.
I've been saying for ages that should be a challenge on Married at First Sight.
Right.
Forget the dates. That's too easy. Put them in challenging situations.
Send Dean and Tracy to IKEA to put together a flat pack. That would have been good TV.
I'll tell you real soon what happened, but there was a number of circumstances that built up.
Okay.
And I feel like if we weren't stronger in our marriage, it would have been a real test.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Obviously, biggest news story the past few days, Zach, has been the Australian cricket cheating scandal in South Africa. Unfortunately, not for long. Unfortunately, I have to reveal that I'm at the centre of an even bigger cheating controversy.
You've cheated in cricket as well, Dom.
Yes.
I didn't know you played for Australia.
No, I didn't. Didn't quite make the test team. Just shy of the test team. However, I unfortunately, like the Australian captain Steve Smith had to do, I have to front up to the pressure, to the pressure cooker environment at the moment, and admit that I too cheated in a game of cricket.
Oh, I'm glad you're coming clean.
Yep.
This must be a load off for you.
It is.
I think the players, Steve Smith in particular, and the Australian team, will applaud you for taking some of the heat off them. Because once you reveal your apology, people are going to forget about what happened in South Africa.
I think so. And I hope you appreciate this is hard for me.
Yeah.
What I'm doing right now. I've kept this secret for 13 years.
What's happened?
2005, Zach. I was in grade 7, 11 years old, playing for the school cricket team. And, you know, I like to think that I was an honourable kid. You know, that I played fair. I was never the most talented in the team. Everyone knew that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I had spirit. And I played fair. But this particular day, an opportunity presented itself to me to bend the rules a little bit. And unfortunately, I took it.
What happened?
So, it was... The grass was long in the outfield. It hadn't been mowed for a while.
I was... Not a problem the professionals have very often.
No. No, I would say it was a good... It was a good few centimetres tall, that grass.
Yeah.
I happened to be fielding... That's important to the story, as you'll see soon see. I was fielding near the stumps. The opposition batsman hit the ball in my direction, and I bent down and picked it up. However, I went on to slip the ball into my pocket and pretend that I was looking for it in the grass. I'd appreciate if you didn't laugh. This is emotional.
Oh, just like what happened in South Africa. It involved hiding something in a pocket.
It did. So I start remonstrating with my teammates. I can't find the ball.
And what a performance.
Oh, it was. Look, in the midst of the controversy, I have to admit, I nailed the performance.
Now, you can't bat a ball, but boy, can you act.
You're not wrong. So I began my theatrical piece of mock looking for the ball.
And are you adding a bit of commentary to this as well? It's
completely.
Got to be around here somewhere.
It came to me, didn't it, guys? And the batsman, I can see, initially looks unconvinced by my performance.
Yeah, don't they see the massive bulge in your pocket where the cricket ball is?
Well, apparently not. I am trying to hide that as I walk closer. And I'm continuing to look around the grass, and ultimately he is convinced. I think after about 10 seconds of my acting, he thinks, this guy really doesn't have the ball. We got to run here. So they start running, and I see my moment. I grasp the ball from my pocket, and I run, the batsman out.
I was only acting! You've been fooled! And do you just start putting your hands up celebrating like you've got him out, or do you realize that maybe that wasn't the most sports person like thing to
do? I start running because I'd never gotten a wicket. It was my first season of cricket.
Yeah.
I'm running around with my arms in the air.
Got him! God!
Yelling these sorts of things. Well, none of my other teammates are joining in with the celebration.
Oh, what? Your teammates instantly didn't approve.
They were, well, to be honest, I think it was one of the poorer batsmen from the opposition, and they thought I was being a bit harsh.
I don't care, kid. Get out.
Well, I think the kid who was captaining our team just said that was pretty low, Dom. Anyway, so I'd like to...
were they out? What happened?
Yeah, they were out. They were out.
So what happened? When the batter walked past you, did they say anything?
Well, I feel that was the last wicket. We walked off the field, and as we were getting back on the bus to get back to our school, I did see the cricketer being hugged by his dad, crying.
Oh! Well, the performance led to tears, but
I just
not in a good way.
Similar to Steve Smith, the Australian cricket captain. I'd like to take this opportunity today to apologise.
Did your coach say something to you? Did you learn a lesson?
They didn't let me bat or bowl for the rest of the season, but I think that was more to do with my talent.
Okay.
To be honest. No one really ever brought it up. I think they all just were ashamed of me.
Yep.
And in this moment, I want to say I'm ashamed of myself too.
Yep.
I won't let it happen again.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that was the end of my cricketing career.
Yep.
And it's a shameful story of cheating. And all I know is that tomorrow morning in the newspapers, there'll be nothing on Steve Smith.
And a lesson to all the young cricketers out there.
Yeah.
The ball never gets lost in the grass. If that's what the fielders are saying, they're trying to trick you.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
I had an IKEA trip go badly yesterday, Dom, and I'm pretty sure it was... almost entirely my fault.
Okay. Right.
So my wife and I...
Admirable taking the blame already. Thank you.
My wife and I took a Sunday trip to IKEA, which is like under the best circumstances. It's dangerous territory.
Oh, it certainly tests a relationship. There'd be many couples who would have been to see relationship counsellors because of IKEA.
I actually think, you know how they set up each of the rooms through IKEA.
Yep.
One of them should be a counselling setup halfway through. Don't you think that would be fitting? Like the leather couches, and they just have someone with thick rimmed glasses sitting there saying, would you like to have a chat?
Duty of care. They should legally mandate that you go through counselling before you leave the store.
I did see a number of couples with people with their face in their hands, and I overheard one conversation where a woman said to a man, she passed him a basket, and just before she gave him the basket, she kind of pulled it back a little bit, and she said, now... we're only getting things for our project. This man has been in this situation before and can't be trusted.
And this is the problem with IKEA. There is so much there that is temptingly low priced that you can't decide what to get and what not to get. It's a maze of a store, so you get lost. And there's also the fact that you can never find the thing you're looking for. Yes.
I'm not convinced that it's not a psychological study. It's so much like a maze. I don't know what the Swedes are up to. But I think they're sending that footage back to them and they're running like a long-term human experiment.
Yeah.
Anyway, our first issue was we tried to go late in the day.
Right.
The first mistake is it's an all-day thing. Mm. Set aside all day. So we're racing the clock. It shuts at 5 o'clock. We want to get this couch. We're at home in the afternoon. It's about half an hour away. And we're like, you know what? We can get in and get it done in the next couple of hours before it shuts.
Rule one of IKEA, you can't get in and get out. No. That's not part of the IKEA
experience.
That's
not what you do. No one pops into IKEA.
No, you don't do that.
It's not like milk and bread.
No, you can pop into Coles. Sure, maybe you can pop into Kmart. You can't pop into IKEA.
So we go, we get this lounge, we do the whole thing. It's a massive box.
Yeah.
Massive box.
Okay.
It's like 5 to 5.
And so you've made the decision not to get the home delivery? Because I know they do offer home delivery.
Yeah, well, I wasn't aware at the time that they did that.
Okay, sure.
I have found out since. That would have helped.
Right. Okay. So you've just taken this to the front counter, you've scanned it and dragged it to the car.
Yeah, we have a hatchback. Can you see where this story is going?
Okay.
So I'm going through this shopping center car park with this huge box. It's a couch in a box. For some reason, I thought it would fit in the car. It doesn't fit in the car.
Mm.
I'm looking at the clock. We can't return it. It's shut now.
The store's closed, so you're now in the car park with a box that doesn't fit in the car.
Yeah, and we're like, half an hour, 45 minutes from home?
Right. Okay.
Can't deliver it. I'm like, does Uber offer a service where they'll deliver your IKEA stuff?
Well, if they don't, they certainly should.
So my mother-in-law has a four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
She lives about half an hour away. I call her up.
I reckon, by the way, this isn't the first time the IKEA calls happened.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Why don't they put on the box, won't fit in a hatchback, don't try?
Yes, yeah. And I reckon your mother-in-law would have seen the call coming and been like, I reckon this is IKEA related.
So she says she'll come, and I'm thinking, great, that's only about half an hour. I've only got 10% battery left on my phone. That's probably enough for entertainment in the next half an hour. We'll get through this.
Sure. It is starting to sound like a challenge in Survivor. Yes. I'll put it that way.
Over an hour passes. yeah. My mother-in-law, and I'm not upset at this. It was a wonderful favor that she did for us.
Yeah.
But she shows up a long time past what my calculations thought it would be. And she's like, sorry, I thought you were at Freedom on the other side of town.
Oh, my gosh.
Another furniture store. So I went right there first. You weren't there. And then I remembered you said you're at IKEA. But, you know, like, you can't be upset because they're doing you a massive favor.
No, you can't say, look at your time efficiency. That's awful, but...
So I'm like, okay. And then it was like the couch only just fit in the four-wheel drive.
Right.
It was like poking. I was driving and it was like inventing a new yoga pose for me to fit in the car.
Right.
Like the IKEA crouch.
It becomes the Tetris sort of scenario.
Yes.
Trying to jam it into the car.
Finally get it home. By this stage, right, after we've waited in the car park for like an hour and a half, by the time we get into the car, by the time we get it home, by the time we get it up the stairs in the door, it's now 3 hours since IKEA shut.
So it's pitch black.
It's about 5 hours since we left the house the first time.
Middle of the night.
We finally get it into the room where we want to have it. And my wife and I look at each other and we're like, I reckon we got the wrong color. So now we have to take it back.
Call the mother-in-law up. We're going back.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
This is Collective Noun's Out of Context News.
Making Out of Context News tonight, Donald Trump is upset with the Australian cricket team.
You know, they're bad people. There's something wrong with them. It's illegal to do what they did, I think. You're not allowed to. It's criminally offensive.
Also, MKR judge Pete Evans can't understand why people even watch cricket.
There's better things to do with your time, like spend it with your family, or just go out for a walk, or drawing, or something.
And Pauline Hanson isn't happy with the Australian cricket captain.
If he doesn't start being a strong leader that people are calling for, he'll be thrown out on his ear.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Sad day for Aussie sport, Dom, with our Aussie cricketers admitting that, they cheated.
They cheated over in South Africa. A bit of ball tampering going on over there.
They held a press conference to explain what happened.
It's certainly not on, and it won't happen again. I can promise you that under my leadership.
We were thinking though, Dom. Mm-hmm. Surely they aren't the only Aussies to ever cheat in a competition.
Well, you wouldn't have thought so. I would doubt that this is the only time in Australian history where there has been some cheating taking place.
So on 13 10 60, no matter how small, this is your opportunity to call a press conference.
That's it.
And admit to cheating of your own.
Our hope is, Zach, that through this, just like the Australian cricketers, you'll be able to get the cheating off your chest and move forward.
I would like to call a press conference, please. Thank you, everyone, for coming today. This is in regards to me coming third in the 1500 metres in year 11. I did not run that whole race. I only joined in the last lap while everyone was puffed and I was full of energy. My apologies, it won't happen again.
Wow.
Mainly because school sport is long gone.
Are you ashamed?
Yes, I'm ashamed that it's brought disgrace to my house, which I forget what name that was.
All right,
I think our colour was blue.
I would like to, just while the press is still here, call my own.
We're going to have another press conference off the back of it.
Just off the back of it.
Okay, I'll move off stage. You
move
come
off stage,
up.
Yeah. All right. I would just like to apologise. A month ago, games night with some friends who were playing Monopoly, and I secretly snuck Mayfair into my pile.
How did they not see that?
And convinced everyone that I'd actually bought it the first round through, and they'd all forgotten. And they all believed it and ended up getting Park Lane as well, building hotels and winning the game. Unfortunately, I brought games night into disrepute.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed of my actions.
It will never be the same again.
And I promise under my leadership, I will never do that again.
Well done. 13 10 60. We'll give you the press conference. You give us what your cheating is.
We have Maddie on 13 10 60. Maddie, I'll just usher the press in here.
Yep.
Take it away when you're ready with your press conference.
Yeah, so I actually cheat in Uno.
Okay. Is this ongoing, Maddie?
Yeah, it is. Like, every time, like, even I've played Uno with a couple of mates on the weekend, and I couldn't help but look at their cards, and I was dealing it to them.
Wait, okay. When you deal, you look at what everyone has?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, Maddie, you brought shame to the Uno family.
This is a massive scandal, Maddie. Can I just ask, how do we know, how do we trust this will never happen again?
To be totally honest with you, it's going to happen again.
This isn't usually how they go.
Can I just say?
And Maddie's just called a press conference to brag.
This would be like Steve Smith strolling into the press conference yesterday. Yes, we tampered with the ball, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Anyone have any ideas how we can not get caught?
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
I think I discovered a all-new walk of shame today, Dom. Mm. Maybe worse than the previous one. We, you know, walk of shame, you have early at dawn,
yep,
after a big night out.
Mm.
You're got your shoes in your hand.
That's it.
Your clothes are all crumpled.
Maybe looking a little worse
for wear.
Yeah.
I discovered what I think might be a more humiliating one.
Okay.
I'm stopped at lights today in peak hour traffic, and I'm a few cars back. Now, the car at the front is a learner.
Okay.
And I get nervous, yeah, because the front of the lights is a big responsibility.
It's like the start of a baton race.
Yeah.
You need your person to start well, otherwise the rest of you are going to feel it.
It is. Don't you think? You got to start moving and you go, you're leading everyone.
Oh, completely.
Come on, guys. I'm going to clear the intersection quickly to make way for you.
Yep.
Like Aragorn in Lord of the Rings. You're the king leading the horses into battle.
And this is a big note to anyone listening right now who might be stopped at traffic lights at the front of a queue.
This goes out to you.
You are in a privileged position right now.
Make sure you act well.
Get your foot on the accelerator. Get ready to go.
Well, the difficulty was it was on a slight slope.
Okay.
And it was a manual car.
And this is a big thing as well, because I drive a manual car. Yeah. And I know that when people are learning on a manual car, you got to give them a good few meters if they're on a slope, because they're going to roll back.
Well, this person stalled a number of times, so much so that we missed the green light. So it's red.
Yeah.
It goes green. They weren't able to get the car to go forward, to go through the green light, so it goes red again.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's peak hour. There's at least 50 cars.
I think I know the walk of shame you're talking about, because I think I've been there myself.
The next light goes green.
Yep.
Stalls another three times.
Oh, no.
Doesn't make the second light. By this stage, it's almost got to be reported on the radio traffic report. Almost there's congestion due to a learner.
Well, we're close to a breakdown at this stage. And I can imagine the cars around you are getting pretty frustrated. There's a bit of beeping.
Well, because I can see what's happening.
Yes.
The people 10 back must be thinking, what the hell's going on up there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I can just see the two people in the car. And there's a conversation happening.
Yeah.
I can't hear the conversation.
And normally learner to generally parent.
Yeah, I think conversation it was a father and a son.
Yeah, normally heated. It's, I'm trying, Dad, I'm trying. And the dad being like, just calm down, foot on the clutch, foot on the accelerator.
Now, at some point in the conversation, the words must have been said, all right, that's enough.
And here comes the walk of shame.
That poor kid.
Yep.
17-year-old, 18-year-old, in front of what I think might be hundreds of people lined up behind him, so defeated, so slumped, he has to get out in traffic, walk around the car, get in the passenger side, get back in. If you're in that situation, surely you try to scooch over.
We'll see when, because I have been there, because I learnt on a manual car.
I thought you may have.
With my dad. I had to do that walk of shame a few times. And towards the end, I started saying to Dad, I'm like, I'm not doing it. He's like, why? And I'm like, it's too embarrassing. You do the walk and I'll jump over. I refused. Yes. At one stage, I was jumping into the back seat and just hiding my head until it got us out of the intersection, because it is the most embarrassing thing. Because you're walking in front of the traffic being like, that was me, guys.
You are becoming like one of the celebrities trying to avoid the paparazzi. You're in the back seat with a coat over your face. It wasn't me, guys.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
If you've listened to the show before, you know that each week we ask, beg, nay, plead for 5-star reviews on the iTunes podcast store, a.k.a. the Collective Noun Forum, a.k.a. the happiest place on the internet.
And it is so affordable to get into the Collective Noun Forum. All you have to do is search for Collective Noun on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating as your admission price in, write whatever you want in the review, and you can we will read it out on the show, in fact. And first, Zach, we have Yes Mate Yes Wow into the forum today.
Welcome back, Yes Mate Yes Wow.
With the caption, all aboard the hype train, toot toot. Is the hype train a new attraction you've installed in the forum?
Yes, steam-powered. Controversial.
Why is that controversial?
Well, it's a little bit out of date.
Right. Is that bad for the environment, steam-powered trains?
Really bad. That's the controversy.
I see. Okay, but you decided that when we were putting the hype train in, you only wanted steam.
Well, I like that style.
Yep.
And until Elon Musk comes out with one that looks that good and is electric, what can I say?
And look, we should add, outside of the steam hype train, the forum is entirely carbon neutral.
Well, we're actually carbon neutral, including the hype train.
Oh, are we?
We just are so good everywhere else.
Really?
Yeah.
So we do something that offsets the steam train.
Yeah. Keep cups.
Yeah. Okay, right. Well, that's great. I mean, and that's why I'm proud to work at the Collective Noun Forum, because we just set a good example.
We give and take. We're exactly neutral.
Well, the hype train that Yes Mate, Yes Mouse is referencing is just about the new Marketplace Price is Right game show. I think Yes Mate, Yes Wow's idea is that we should be pitching this at TV networks.
It could work.
I mean, because Price is Right, they did try to revive it a few years ago with Larry Emder, the TV
show.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. See, that's the thing. If we were using Facebook Marketplace.
That's it.
It would be a lot more relevant, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, I don't know the going price of dishwashers.
No, but also, wouldn't it be entertaining to see the Price is Right models that they get advertising the Facebook Marketplace products?
Like, you know, last week's Queen Ant.
That's it. They slide back the big reveal. You could be going home with a Queen Ant. Just someone with it.
Why would I want that? We'll start the bidding at $50.
We can work on that one, though. Next up, we have Catherine 1996 in the Collective Noun Forum. Catherine just says, in reference, Zach, to our conversation the other week about spiders, ice cream spiders being an adult drink, that she is 22 and has ordered a spider, and so has her boyfriend. They are yummy, no regrets. Now, I feel like that is the final nail in the coffin of your anti-ice cream spider position.
Why?
Well, because, I mean, Catherine, 22...
Catherine's allowed to have her opinion, and I'm allowed to have my opinion.
Yeah, but she does say they are yummy, no regrets. And they are yummy, no regrets silences any argument.
What is
my
argument?
Well, that you didn't think that an ice cream spider was respectable for an adult. That was your position.
I wouldn't have said those words, I don't think. Okay. And I don't want anyone to track me down saying those words previously, if I have. I would maintain that it's a childlike drink.
Oh, well, I don't
like, you can eat fairy bread as an adult, but that's still a childlike food.
I don't.
It's a food popular with children, and spiders are most popular in the child demographic.
Okay, and I think it is about time that we reclaim fairy bread too, and I'm glad you brought this up, because fairy bread has suffered unfairly
Remember how
for too long.
We made that fairy bread pizza.
That's right.
That was actually delicious.
It was.
And I feel like we didn't get the kudos we deserved for that.
That was some years ago now. And that
we should bring that back.
The fairy bread pizza?
Yeah.
It's a good idea. So because
see, that's the thing about that. It's bringing it to adults.
Yes.
That makes sense. So if you have it on white bread, that's still childlike.
Well, because I think we did realize that you can just order a blank pizza.
Yeah, and then
just
we put butter and hundreds and thousands on top. Actually delicious.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And you are right. White bread, I guess, is seen as something of the child's bread.
Yeah.
In some circles. Perhaps we should make fairy bread on multigrain. There's an idea. I mean,
that wouldn't work.
What do you mean?
Well, it tastes awful. I'm sure someone's done that as a kid, not realizing. It's like, well, bread's bread.
We also say a quick hello, Zach, to Cow Milk Overdose into the Collective Noun Forum. Cow Milk Overdose, obviously something I've suffered from myself. And
we're just reading off your medical chart now.
that's it.
If the next one has never exercised, I'll start to get suspicious.
And also Josh M into the Collective Noun Forum. Josh, we actually mentioned this on the show a little while ago, Zach, came up with the idea of us adding cream to soft drinks. So I just want to congratulate Josh and say that you can enter the Collective Noun Forum with genius ideas.
Of course.
Absolutely. And we're always open, Shark Tank-esque,
but
to hearing
your
ideas.
But the terms and conditions are, once they're expressed within the grounds of the Collective Noun Forum, you forego your rights to the idea.
They're our IP now. We own the rights.
I'm sorry, guys. We got to have some restrictions.
We really do. In fact,
we're the Facebook of the forum world.
And the hype train we mentioned earlier, we now own that idea. Yep. The hype train is now in the Collective Noun Forum. I'm sorry, but I mean, we've got to be smart with this. Next up, Zach, we have Stormy Pig in the Collective Noun Forum. Stormy Pig just references Damien Leith, Zach. We unsuccessfully last week tried to start Damien Leith dating.
Oh, Stormy Pig, if you are a fan, we might have located one.
Well, this is bizarre, right? Because we did put out on the national radio show for a Damien Leith fan to call up so we could start Damien Leith dating for Damien Leith fans. Obviously,
turning over a new leaf.
That was your idea for the slogan. Obviously, this is the 2006 Australian Idol winner.
Do you think he needs to be explained?
Well, I think he might.
Because that could be the problem. Well, we had Catherine before.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, you said 2006.
2006, yeah.
Never mind.
We unfortunately didn't get a single caller in response to a Damien Leith fan who's single. And that left us thinking one of two things. Either there aren't Damien Leith fans out there, or they're all happily together. Maybe Damien Leith's music is so beautiful that it just brings people together as it is.
Yeah.
But look, Stormy Pig just wants to say, I've been obsessed with Damien Leith since I was like 7. I've never heard anybody else speak his name since he won.
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing a complete smile to my face when you mentioned him. Which
no mention of whether they would be interested in a dating line.
Well, you know, we did say that the other member of Damien Leith dating was me. And I do feel like Stormy Pig could have mentioned whether or not they wanted to opt in on that. It is interesting, though. It probably was. And I love Damien Leith's music. But he hasn't had a hit on the charts for a little while.
Yeah.
It might have been his first mention on radio since the months after he won Australian Idol.
We should have played a track.
We should have. I wonder what Damien... Actually, he did a Roy Orbison tribute album a little while ago. And then after that...
I don't think that's getting a run on our station.
I wouldn't have thought so. After that, he did, I think it was Songs of Ireland, The Sounds of Ireland or something like that, which has a beautiful cover of Danny Boy, the classic Irish song, which I love listening to every now and then.
I'm beginning to understand.
Hmm. Do you want to have a listen
why
to Danny
we
Boy?
Haven't heard his music on this station in a while. It's not exactly the type of fodder that we usually play.
So Songs from Ireland is 2015 album. Danny Boy's in my top 20 most played songs. This cover of Danny Boy from Damien Leith. He's a bit of Danny Boy. Just off the my phone into the microphone.
Oh, Danny Boy.
Just beautiful.
Do you play this often?
Well, it's in my top 20 most played. Beautiful.
How many versions of Danny Boy are in that top 20?
I do know Danny Boy off by heart, actually. I've learned it from this song.
Give us a bit.
I'm not singing Danny
Just a
Boy.
Little bit.
Well, what, from the start?
No, just a bit in the middle. Your favourite verse.
The summer's gone and all the flowers are dying. I'm not singing anymore. I
have a new love for Damien Leith's version. Bring back Damien Leith.
Look, if you do want to get in the Collective Noun forum, we would love to have you on board. All you have to do is search for Collective Noun on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating as your admission price in, write whatever you want, and we'll read it out next time on the show.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Zach, I think I might be on to a little bit of a fudge-related conspiracy at the moment.
Oh, not you and your fudge-related conspiracies. Here he goes. Don't get him started.
I'm just saying, Zach, I might have broken through on a big news story here, and I need your help answering this question. So I went on a road trip with a friend over the weekend to a small town, kind of a small touristy town, and it had like a main street of shops. There's about 15 shops on this main street. You got the vintage clothing shops. You got like some gift shops, things like that, a few cafes. Everyone's up there for a day trip sort of thing. And I noticed as we were walking up and down this street that fudge seemed to be on sale in a lot of these shops.
Yeah.
A lot of them were selling fudge. So I did the numbers because I was having a fun day, evidently.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know we're doing the segment Dom Does the Numbers. Okay. Well, do we have production for that?
We're certainly doing that as a new segment, Dom Does the Numbers. 15 stores on this main strip.
Yeah.
10 of them sold fudge.
Yep.
10 of them competing in the fudge market. Now, you might think, so what? Well, you and I live in a city, Zach. How often do you see fudge stores in the city?
Stores that sell fudge? Because I guess, like, food stores would, wouldn't they?
I mean fudge specialty stores.
So, wait. 10 out of the 15 were fudge specialty stores.
Fudge, the main sign says fudge.
Yeah, well, you're obviously in the fudge district.
Oh, well, there was no announcement of the
fudge
district.
When you're driving through a city and you start to see a lot of car yards, you're like, oh, this is where people go to buy cars. You found that equivalent for fudge.
Well, I was wondering if this is a small town thing in particular. Small towns have a high fudge ratio, perhaps.
Maybe it was like the fudge capital of the country.
Well, there was no sign saying, welcome to the fudge capital of Australia. I mean, if it was, I think they should do a better job on their advertising. But I need to give this as a big warning to anybody planning a visit to a small country town that might have a high fudge ratio. Because you walk from store to store and you think, I don't love fudge that much. Fudge isn't a normal part of my diet. But I tell you what, when they offer the free samples, you walk out of there with a lot more fudge than you're intending to.
Did you purchase any fudge?
I purchased $35 worth of fudge.
Is that a lot of fudge? That's, I don't know what the going price of fudge is.
That's a fair bit of fudge. I purchased from four different fudge stores and sampled from a few others.
Did you? Because I imagine when you bought the first one at the first store, you thought, oh, geez, I haven't seen fudge in a while.
Yes.
I better stock up.
I thought, this is my fudge for the day. Yes. And then hold on, another fudge store, and they all tempted me with their different flavors. I bought some caramel fudge. I bought some chocolate macadamia fudge. I bought some gingerbread fudge, right? I just went fudge mad. I was fudging mad, Zach. And there's the thing is that fudge is basically just sugar, right? That's essentially the main ingredient in fudge.
Yeah.
And they kept telling me at each fudge store, the great thing is it'll keep. It'll keep. Just put it in a container. It'll last you months in the cupboard.
That didn't last the trip home, did it?
It was gone by nighttime. I don't know what's in the fudge or what these small towns are doing with their fudge schemes, but I can't be trusted to go there ever again. That is all I got time for on the show tonight, and that rant was fueled by the sugar that is remaining from my fudge
Big
burst.
Big fudge. Dom's coming after you.
If you do want to hear the full show back, search for Collective Noun on iTunes. You can get the podcast there. We'll see you tomorrow night at 10.
Bye.
That's all from Collective Noun. Grab podcasts and videos online on Facebook at Collective Noun Comedy.